Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Crypto Sparta podcast. There's been some stuff happening. It's still a bear market, but there was
bad stuff has happened, not good stuff. I mean, last week we talked about how ETH was kind of on a tear, Bitcoin kind of on a tear, and now it's kind of the bubble is kind of burst, and we had our first, you know.
Is ETH worth 2K or is ETH going back to 800? And I think that it's hovering right now around what?
It's at 1600. And so we had the past 17 days, our past 7 days dropped like 17%. You know, ETH was at 2000, you know, close to 2K. And then
people were saying Bitcoin up only was, and we'll get into the macro.
August 19th was that 10% drop where it was just like, you know, the levels, you look at the chart, the levels just like go off, like go down.
I have a weird sleep schedule. And so I was up, it was like 3 a.m. Asia session, basically, like if you're trying to like do trading, whatever. And they were saying that it was Sam Bankman-Fried Scamwick. Apparently there were 170 million. I always sometimes get these wrong, but there was a crazy amount of liquidations where ETH starts to trickle up, and then the fucking degen monkeys start to lever up.
We'll get to that later, but like, you know, there's people that like leverage.
No, and it was Bitcoin and ETH. They both just did a crazy drop.
August 19th, it was that 10% drop where it was just like.
And then it was like all sorts of people got levels. Liquidated. Yeah. Yep.
So we're like. Yeah, liquidations, like people maybe were maybe a little too overzealous, like leading up to the merge.
They thought that things were going up. Yeah. And it wasn't just ETH, though. It was also Bitcoin. So it was kind of a market-wide, also alts also dumped.
Yeah. Like, it's tough to pick your alts. I mean, like, we'll go into like Dogecoin a little bit, but like you just want to talk about this merge. Because like people were thinking about the merge, you know, this is a very fundamental shift in, you know, how, you know, they operate, you know, moving from proof to work to proof of stake. But, you know, maybe it's not, maybe there's going to be some growing pains, you know, like.
And a lot of people, so one of the things that we were mentioning about that was the fact that there will be a lot of staked ETH that might get released. And now there's also the Mt. Gox, like.
For Bitcoin,
stories that the, no offense, if, I mean, hey guys, like, subscribe, comment, and then tell us who you are, because we've been getting some more reviews.
We're very curious of our audience, for sure.
And we'd love to hear your questions, because are you experts that have been following this for a long time or not? Because the Mt. Gox hack is like a part of Bitcoin history.
This is before our time. Yeah. Like before, so we got into crypto like 2020, 2019.
I was in it before.
Yeah. So like, but this still, is like 2017, like so, way before.
So there's a large chunk of Bitcoin that got stolen that's finally being returned to customers. And then if they decide to sell, it's a significant chunk of Bitcoin. And in the same way, a lot of people are staking their ETH through nodes for the merge.
Well, Lido,
and then if a lot of people end up selling when the merge happens, when these coins get unlocked, these are things where if you're just a if you're a surface level crypto person, then you're not tracking these long term.
The unlocks won't happen until like a year after the merge, where you can sell. But the thing is that
people are trading staked.
Oh yeah, they're trading staked ETH for sure.
That was what happened to 3AC.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's we're kind of bouncing around. We should keep.
But the thing about the merge is that, you know, we thought that, you know, there's been some, you know, information or, you know, speculation from the other side, or like, you know, we last week we talked about you know, the pros of it. This might be the cons, where, you know, a lot of coins have to be switching over to, you know, meet the merge expectations.
And then we've talked about, I don't know how many hacks on cross chain bridges.
Yeah, very vulnerable.
ETH is like pretty secure, but then once you start doing cross-chain, then it's in the hands of other people.
Well, all these altcoins have to, you know, adjust to proof of stake instead of proof of work, and, you know, that could lead to a bunch of, you know, bugs or, you know, issues.
It's guaranteed that there's going to be a lot of people getting hacked. If you're dumb, like, no offense.
Look at all the bridges. Get a hardware wallet.
And the Bored Ape Yacht Club people, they get hacked every week. There's Based Carbon.
Social engineering scams. Like.
And by the way, India team, please tag Based Carbon in this. And then, like, we'll have a little clip. But he makes fun of the Bored Ape Yacht Club people getting hacked every week. And what we're saying is that when the merge happens, there is going to be a slew of hackers. Like there are Bored Ape people that get emails or they get Twitter messages that says, like,
connect Discord your DMs. So join this Discord.
This is something that we actually hadn't put on our notes because, like, we try to put notes down for our stuff. But one of the things that I wanted to discuss was how to avoid getting hacked. And I think that this is common sense. And I kind of look at them.
Don't answer any weird DMs.
Based Carbon makes jokes about them. But it's just like, oh, like, I'm DMing you. Like, how about, you own Bored Ape? Like, can you send me your MetaMask wallet address? And I'm going to send you an NFT. And you should accept the NFT. And then the NFT drains your wallet. And it's like, guys,
can I
give you advice? Like,
no such thing as a free lunch.
Yeah, if some stranger is messaging you to give them your personal information or your, I mean, some of them are just like, can you give me your seed address? Because then I'll help you. It's like MetaMask support. But no, then it's like MetaMask support 137. Guys, come on, please be safe.
This game ain't easy. The crypto game ain't easy. Like, we know this.
Some of the
stuff,
they're
in a bear market.
I don't know. I think Brian's
just don't
smart. He's got a master's degree. He's a biomedical engineer. I don't know. I just feel like I sense a scam. And also, I kind of like scams. I used to look into them. Multi-level marketing for,
if,
like,
it's too good to be true. It's too good to be true.
And just be careful.
Just slow to roll.
Every single week, some Bored Ape Yacht Club person gets their ape stolen.
Don't click any links.
Don't connect
or
your
hover over the link and see where that address is going to. And if it goes to, like, a different thing. Like, I work in a pharmaceutical company, and, like, they, like, train every year, like, how to avoid phish scams. And one of those things is, you know, hover over the URL and make sure that URL is, like, to an actual, like, legit address. Like, if it's spelled wrong or if it's, like, you know, dot, like, you know, EU or something, or, like, you know, spelled wrong for a bank, like, you do not want to click on those apps. Or click on that link. Like, links, and that's how you get fucked.
I would say it's funny because it kind of touches on a couple different topics, and I'll go one by one to lead into something that we actually did have on our notes. But one of the things that my dad had taught me about that was very funny is, if you guys know about the Nigerian prince scam.
Yeah.
Where they say, hey, I'm a Nigerian prince, and my dad is in trouble. And so if you send me 20,000, I'll be able to release the funds and I'll pay you back 1 million. And I've gotten these messages on LinkedIn. And the interesting and funny thing that they do is that they will put on purpose spelling errors.
Yeah.
Because they're looking for certain types of people. So if you see spelling errors, the thing is they're trying to weed out. I'm a salesperson by trade at heart. And you spray and pray. So you send out a ton of messages. But if you're trying to scam people, you misspell, I'm a Nigerian price.
Yeah.
I'm a Nigerian price. I have lots of oily money. Munwai. Can you send me 20,000? because they only want people that are willing to accept spelling errors. Like, if you think it's a scam, you just forget about it.
They prey on the IQ.
Exactly. But it's not even IQ. The main thing is they want to test. If you're willing to...
low IQ.
Hey, I'm a Bored Ape Yacht Club owner, and I've been having some issues. And they're like, we will do some customer support Z.
Yeah. You gotta be careful.
And then they'll do the little errors just so that whoever answers them is like... willing to accept, like willing to bridge the gap of.
Yeah, you gotta be. You definitely be worried about that. Like,
so this
online is dangerous.
This wanted to bring you to a topic, and I guess we're kind of gonna jump around with our normal flow. But I was gonna go to Doge Chain because everything got rugged. Apparently,
I mean Dogecoin. We talked about it last week where it was like. A 20% increase in like their price and something we weren't aware of, but now it's at 6 cents and it's kind of like it's been not immune to this dump, but
what I wanted to say, and then I think Brian hasn't been tracking it as much, but I sent him some info on it where it's like Doge Chain is like they had Dogecoin. And they created a whole blockchain around it where now there are other coins on Doge.
Dog-related coins.
But none of them have to do anything with tech. And they were all meme coins. And they all rugged. And it was like wrapped Doge Shiba.
But what do you
Doge
expect?
Lawn. No, exactly. But the crazy thing was like they jumped up by thousands. But then they dropped to zero.
Yeah.
So there was a whole chain in the same way that there's Ethereum chain. And this is a topic that I really wanted to dig into where it's like, we've talked about layer ones and Ethereum. And Bitcoin is kind of the dinosaur because you can't build on top of it. But we talked last week about Ethereum versus Solana. And then now, what about Ethereum versus Doge chain? And Solana, and Phantom, and AVAX. Is Ethereum going to stay king? Perhaps. Maybe not.
Oh, yeah. Dogecoin, no.
No. But the people that went on to Dogecoin were basically just gambling.
They're asking for it.
There was nothing of value that actually was created. And so it was purely a meme coin casino. And things shot up by thousands of percent. And then dropped to zero. It was a giant scam market. Yeah. And it's like, do you want to do wrapped Doge? And so this is actually what impacted, I wanted to tell Brian about it, because this is what impacted the Dogecoin price. Dogecoin was purchased so that people could go onto the Doge chain and swap on Doge Swap. Or there was some
it's like Snowbank all over again.
But the thing about it is, if there's Ethereum, but all of the technology can be replicated a million times, is Michael Saylor right? There's only one Bitcoin. But Ethereum, is there going to be, and I was reading about it, and we talked about Aptos. Apparently it's a scam.
Yeah.
It's a centralized scam.
Layer one, layer two.
But all these layer ones, I mean, is someone going to create better technology than Ethereum? Or will Ethereum become the golden standard? There's Solana. There's AVAX. I mean, the trade, there was a time where Ethereum was up big around 2000. But then Solana and AVAX shot through the roof where it was... Okay, if Ethereum transactions cost like fucking hundreds or thousands of dollars, let's just move to a side chain. Let's move to Polygon. Polygon is more efficient.
We'll see.
Who's to say that Ethereum is the king? Who's to say?
But I don't know. I just think Ethereum with the merge has a lot more weight.
It does, but
that also, you know, brings some, reservations because, you know, it's becoming a lot more centralized with all, like 60% of the validators are owned by four different companies. Like Lido owns 31%. Like Coinbase owns, 13%. Kraken, 8%, and then Binance 7%. So that's like 60% of the, around 60% of all the validators. So it's like
the whole argument about decentralization is,
are we Web really 2? Decentralized?
Are we replacing? And then the really deep down argument is, it's like, so Web 2 is like Zuckerberg, Gates, the companies that were in the dot-com boom, Microsoft, maybe Elon, Tesla. Are we replacing them with an even shadowier, more opaque oligarchy that's even more powerful?
SBF, he's becoming a very powerful entity in the crypto space. Like I love SBF to death, and he seems like a very great guy. But
he's a monster. He's a demon.
I mean, he's also monopolized. I mean,
he was probably behind that 10% drop.
I mean, you can't say he's a bad guy without meeting him.
But he's on the side of
his
Biden.
His actions are very questionable.
He donated a shit ton of money to the Biden campaign. He's already got his tentacles involved in sorts of politics.
That's why you gotta be very man. Because
lives in the Bahamas. He's trying to be offshore. Are we replacing the current oligarchs?
He's buying with up a all more... the centralized exchanges too, like Voyager.
They're buying all the debt.
Buying all the debt, and he's gonna. It's like Lord of the Rings, where it's like one ring to rule them all. Where it's like he's
actually
getting all the power.
You're saying this, but what I've heard, which is really cool. And again, India team, you need to get on these types of clips and tag these people. Because when we talk about these people, people should hear about what we have to say about them. Because SBF versus CZ, it's going to be, in my opinion, Biden's a puppet.
Global war.
Well, these are going to be the people that really move the chips.
Well,
CZ has been opening up Binance to all sorts of countries. And this is what happens in the bear market, where people don't realize what actually happens. CZ is going around to all these third world countries. No offense to the countries. But he's going to all these countries and he's getting approval in... I'll look it up.
Granite, yeah.
CZ is going around handshaking with all these politicians, Nigeria. And the politicians know his net worth is larger than their country. Huh. And do you want to do the pronunciation? I don't want to be rude to your culture. Is Changpeng Zhao?
Just call him CZ.
But people need to know who Changpeng Zhao is.
Peng.
He arguably might be the richest person. And this is what the scary thing about crypto is, where people are saying that regulation might be necessary because you don't know who holds what. And CZ might be the richest person in the world. I've heard that Vladimir Putin might be the richest person in the world. I have a feeling that people say that it's either Bill Gates or Elon Musk, but what they say is that actually, or Bezos, it might be...
Bezos is probably the richest, honestly.
No, what they say is that
CZ's probably top five.
No. It's probably a Mexican cartel person or a Chinese diplomat. It's probably Vladimir Putin or Xi Jinping.
The richest Chinese person is probably CZ.
More than Xi Jinping?
I mean, that's the prime minister of China. You think he's the richest?
Have you seen the Panama Papers? I mean, we're getting too political.
Yeah.
We need to get back to that. We were talking about Doge chain.
I just think from a capitalistic, perspective, that's where I'm assuming that CZ is probably the richest person. And so, then,
at his peak, they were saying that he was around a half a trillion.
Oh,
but the thing is,
a lot of his assets is in crypto.
Well, the whole thing is that they're saying that all of the Binance stuff that is shown, he got up to, I believe, over 100,000. It was either 100, 200, 300,000
when
billion.
Binance had
over 100, 200, 300 billion. But
when Binance
his net worth,
when Binance was 500, of course you could assume that, you know, CZ was one of the richest. But now, you know, Binance is at like 200, 300, maybe not so. I mean, he's still top 10, top 5, for sure.
The thing is, you don't know what he has in his private wallets. This is what crypto is about.
I mean, he could have
a ton
of ETH.
This is why the governments don't like it.
He could have a ton of ETH.
I'm sure he has a ton of ETH. A
ton of Bitcoin, like from.
He's probably got a lot of Doge.
Yeah.
Probably got a lot of a little bit of this and that and everything.
Yeah. I mean, he's very private. I mean, he's a smart guy. I would say he's
playing. I actually think he is smart and SBF is smart. And it's weird when you realize the emperor has no clothes when Do Kwon, you think he's smart.
Well, that interview came out and it was basically like nothing new. He just like admitted that maybe because of lawsuits and pending lawsuits where he was just like, I fucked up. I was too big of a head. My ego was way too high.
Your size is not size.
Yeah, your size is not size. Like, he basically like...
I don't know how Do Kwon is not in jail. And now what they're saying is that Do Kwon is not in jail, but the Tornado Cash dev is in jail.
Well, that interview was basically like
it was a fluff
pity.
Piece. It was a
pity,
fluff piece.
Yeah, pity story.
Know. He was
like, oh, I'm sorry. I got way too cocky and I was way too ahead of myself. And, you know, crypto Twitter makes you a different person. And my ego was way too big.
I'm not trying to be like, too much, but like seriously, like fuck that guy. He was so irresponsible, and he lost people. I've heard stories of people killing themselves and losing their life savings on Luna and the Luna Terra USD. It's just so bad. And then the fact that he has no remorse.
Well, now you don't know who to trust now. Like who you're supposed to trust in this game? You can't trust anyone.
There was a guy that I had seen on Twitter that bets against whenever you start deifying a certain...
Yeah. And that's what he said in the interview.
If you believe in anybody in crypto Twitter, assume that they're a scammer and then short them. And this guy was like, I shorted Daniele Sesta. I shorted Sam Bankman-Fried. I shorted Luna. The people that shorted Luna made so much money. And this is like kind of an interesting angle where I think that we are always like kind of bullish. But the thing is, like Brian and I don't use the complex instruments in terms of like calls and shorts and puts.
Oh, no, we're not advanced traders. Like you will not see me like look at, 50 minute chart or like 30 minute chart.
We report on what is happening each week and then we give our opinions.
I'm a very bad trader.
Not financial, not legal advice.
I don't short.
We will tell you what's going on each week.
Yeah.
And there are people out there that are really smart who are like, this is obviously a bubble. And, you know, we'll go backwards to our normal routine. Normally, we do the market and then we go macro. The macro is miserable.
Oh yeah, so like if you think the merge is gonna outlast the macro, I don't think that is a good hypothesis, because the macro is terrible. China's terrible. Canada, with COVID.
So we were discussing. Let's go topic by topic.
Okay, let's start. Let's go Canada.
Yeah, with Canada, they're not allowing you. They're limiting.
So unlimited purchases on BTC and ETH.
But there are two other ones. There's only four coins.
Oh, Litecoin and those.
They like picked random ones where it was like it was so weird.
It's basically BTC and ETH because the other coins are like Litecoin and like Bitcoin Cash.
But the thing is, that makes them even more silly. Where it's like Canada is choosing which coins you can invest in and some of them are dumb ones.
So to finish the thought is because you can unlimitedly buy these coins, but any other altcoin like Chainlink or like Avalanche,
30,000 minimum.
Yeah, 30,000 limit. So, yeah, so, like, but it doesn't, like, people were saying, like, oh, you could just transfer your ETH to Avalanche or, you know, ETH to Link, and that wouldn't count against it.
But the government will dig into your, it's the same thing with the 87,000 IRS agents. Now they're starting to get the tools.
If you Uniswap that, like, oh, you just like
put your ETH in Uniswap? It's not about that they will get you. It's like that they could. It's that if you're just messing around, they will get you. Where, or they could. The fact that in Canada, if you donate it to the truckers, you can get your bank shut down. Like, I don't know. I'm a conspiratorial guy, but I think that the World Economic Forum is slowly creeping in on them. They're going to bring it from Canada to the US. Who's to say what crypto coins I can invest in? 30,000 limit on Cum Rocket? I can't buy
Cum Rocket. You want to go coins. That far? You want your investing like 30,000?
Well, I don't care. I mean, I can't get SHIB. I can't get Doge. I'm only allowed to do certain things that the government allows me, or else I go to jail. I can't donate to the people protesting in the streets. It honestly, to me, feels like a very extreme violation of freedom. And 30,000, that's not even that much. Yeah, it's like, 30, really? And then it's like, okay. And I've been conspiratorial, and I'll go full on it. Oh, wait, I can only get 2 pounds of beef a week. What? I've already used my social credits. I criticized Justin Trudeau. My kids don't get to go to the private school. Like,
I mean, that's in the U.S. too. You criticize Donald Trump, you're probably not going to go in the same private school as Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner's son.
You say that, but legally, they shut down people's bank accounts, which is what freaked me out the most. Is that in Canada, you supported protesters and a restaurant owner that gave $25.
How's that any different than, I don't know, I think people look at you differently if you invest in BLM or you invested in Planned Parenthood. You know, people, I mean, maybe the government won't, like, do anything about that, but, like, you'll still, like, your social credits will, like, decrease or something.
I mean, do you get canceled if you donate to BLM?
In some circles. Right?
Let's be honest. Probably you know not, who's doing the canceling. And you know who's not doing the canceling.
Yeah, yeah. So, like,
if you're a trucker that's protesting, then you're going to be in trouble. If you're a trucker who doesn't like the government, if you're going against taxes, then they'll call you a racist. I don't know. It's too political. We need to move on.
Yeah. We've gotten a little off topic, but back to globally, like, you know, Canada's not good.
Oh, but China. This was the big thing where
The second world's, you know, economy, basically, like, the second strongest economy besides the U.S.
So they've been doing QE. Like, we should have done it in order with the macro, where they're doing quantitative easing. And what happens is when you do quantitative easing, you basically are pumping money. And they lowered interest rates. In the United States, they've been increasing interest rates because what they want to do is basically choke consumers and cut off the lines of credit. So when you do quantitative easing, you lower the rates and then give more money so that people invest more. And then a lot of this goes into the housing market. So in China, there are a lot of developers that took out lots of loans to be able to build property. Now, they were building property, and then they were also getting in deposits from investors, like retail investors, saying, hey, we're going to build some condos. Would you like to buy a condo and put down a deposit? And then you'll be able to rent it out and make money off of it. So it's very similar to The Big Short, where it's like apparently there are some Chinese people with four, five, six apartments that will never, ever be filled.
Never see them being
And
built.
some of them might not even be built, exactly. And so the real estate developers at this moment don't have the money coming in because the people that were investing, they say, hey, there's zero COVID for China and I'm not working anymore. So I can't pay. I gave you a deposit of like $20,000, but I want to cancel it out. Can I get my money back or I'm just not going to pay you anymore? And the developers are like, dude, you need to keep paying us. Like, we haven't even built this house and like we need the money to keep building. And then the guy is like, yo, my job is dead. Like,
Can't pay you.
I can't pay you. And now what the government did was that they were trying to stimulate the economy, even though they're trying to do zero COVID. And so there are people in China that were at the banks saying, can I take out my deposits? And the banks lent the money to the developers that are no longer getting payments from their investors. And they were so leveraged. The developers were getting money from people for houses that they hadn't even built yet. And now those people, not only are they not paying, but they want their money back. But the developers don't have any money. And now the banks don't have any money. And it's the same bank that the people that were investing were saying, hey, can I get my savings out? And now the developers are not paying the money back. Yeah. And now the government did what's called lowering the capital requirements. So typically a bank needs to have 1%, 5% of the actual money that they owe. So they get money from the depositors and then they lend it out and then they get arbitrage. If I lend out money to people that have no money, and then the requirements for me holding the money, so say Brian gives me $10, I lend out $1,000 and the guy is not paying me back. And Brian's like, I want my $10 back. And I was like, dude, I have no dollars.
Yeah, I gave it all away.
I lent it to the person and he was like, who did you lend it to? And I was like,
You're the bank.
Brian, I lent it to the dude you were trying to invest with.
It's like a
Brian,
triangle.
yeah, it's a triangle. And then they've been trying to juice the economy. They've lowered the interest rates so that you can lend more money to the banks. The banks are irresponsibly lending it out to the private developers. And the retail people are lending it to the developers and also depositing at the banks. And now there's no money left in the banks.
So China's
All the loans are going faulty. It's going to be a Lehman Brothers. It appears to be a Lehman Brothers.
in
Also,
China.
because it's all triggered by the fact that zero COVID policy, the Chinese government wants to
No
assert.
one's working, so how can they pay back loans?
No, but they want to show that they're in power. So they will say, hey, you can't go outside because we're going to take care of you and we're going to make sure you don't die of COVID. So they're still on lockdowns. And I mean, yeah, it gets way too political now with China and global politics and coronavirus policies. But this contagion, the other thing that I wanted to touch on with macro is that there will be shortages in Europe in terms of natural gas and heating. And already inflation has hit very, very hard. And apparently there will be shortages of food. Not only in Europe, but also in North Africa, as well as Asia. A part of this is that Ukraine is a giant producer of wheat, which is why Russia has invaded. So, in my opinion, I've been telling people that I think that the macro is so bad that crypto will go down. While there are technological developments, I think that the whole world is going to.
The war is not helping the cause, especially with post-COVID, you know, economy, with rates rising. So, like, macro is not great, and I don't think the merge happening will, like, outlast or be able to survive or, like, you know, be an atypical event to the macro. And that's how you see, you know, the current market crashing. You know, we dipped, you know, 20% this week.
It went up to 20, or it went up to 2,000.
So price targets for people, like,
you know, I want to see the bottom again of
Boo Ethereum. Boo was saying like 800, like 1,200, like
he was saying 3 or 5, I think.
No, he, I mean,
and yeah, India team. His, like, shout out to Boo. Boo the, like, panda.
He was like 800, but then, like, you know,
no, Arthur he was saying that it's gonna bottom and then it's gonna shoot up to 10,000. And he said that the difference between
he's
the bottom and the top.
He's trying to buy, like, 2023, like, you know, after this merge is about to dip hard. So that's how, like, this is kind of like a sad episode for the merge, where it might not be, you know, what we thought it was, as far as the market, you know, outlasting the macro. I think it's not that developed right now, and then, you know, things can still get worse. Like, we're at 1,600. Like, we could go even further than 1,600. We go, like, you know, 1,200 would be good, but, you know, we could go, like, 800.
No, people are saying 3 digits.
Yeah.
So, and I'm wondering if we're going to see 800 ETH again. And I'm wondering who bought 800 ETH and then sold the top, or what, the local top.
I mean, that's a good...
Like, because, like, that's my dad was just like 800. Like, I wish we had had more cash to, like, buy it. And I'm
sold,
just like,
he sold at like 2,000, so that was good for him to sell.
Mm-hmm.
He sold, you know, to get
decent, cash. Decent, yeah. But I mean, 800 was a good buy. But will you be able to buy lower? I mean, it definitely was a fake out. There was a lot of people, and I then mean, for me, that was I'm what happened. They leveraged so longs. Yeah. They leveraged long when you broke 2,000. Yeah. And now it's at 1,600, and all those people got liquidated. And it was like in a snap of a fingers. They must have been 20x, 50x, where it's like, oh, it's 2,000. I get liquidated at 1,890, and there's a single candle that SBF drops to like 17. And then they just liquidated 170 million, and then they buy back in. And I think that for him, dude, how smart are these guys? They're MIT guys. There's Sam Alameda.
Well, they got the algorithms. SBF.
They have the algorithms. They're market makers. It's their own markets. FTX owns the markets. It's market manipulation. It borderline should be illegal. I don't know if I feel that regulation is smart or not, but I think that they're definitely manipulating the markets. Like,
oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Well, that's why, like, they're like the head honcho. Like, they have a big portion of the market share. I mean, Coinbase compared to FTX is, you know.
Well, and the SEC regulates stuff, but, I mean, even the SEC is imperfect, but, I mean, crypto is the Wild West where you're...
Well, the thing is that SBF is paying a lot of money for lobbying, and then, you know, you also have Coinbase. It's basically Coinbase versus FTX.
But it's them. No. You're wrong. Brian, they're on the same side. You know who's on the other side? Fucking Wall Street.
Yeah. But BlackRock owns Coinbase basically now.
That's why that's what they're saying, is the institutions are buying your coins.
Yeah.
Bit so, by bit.
Hardware wallets. Get the hardware. You like, fool me once, shame on. Shame
I mean, at on the me. End of the day,
fool me
there's no. going to be consolidation, and then we're going to be at the whims of people. So,
fool me once.
Do you raise shame like, on you. The fool tides me twice, forever?
Shame on me.
I don't know. Do you hope that the institutions pump your bags?
No. You can't bet on institutions to pump your bags.
Yes, you can.
For ETH bags, maybe ETH and Bitcoin.
So this was a thesis by someone quite a long time ago, where they had said that institutions were not allowed to purchase crypto because it was too speculative. So it was one of the first times that... basically, an everyday person could buy Bitcoin, but Goldman Sachs couldn't. Typically, all of these very high level investment funds, they got inside deals before it came out. Who is getting in before the IPOs of all these large tech companies? It's all insider deals. Crypto was the only thing. But now that the institutions are buying, the advantage is over.
BlackRock is handling institutional buy-ins.
And now it's going to be owned. Coinbase. So now, in the future,
BlackRock
is crypto going to just be owned by the big organizations? That's fine. But you just need to like ride their coattails and try to be a part of the new.
Thing is, they are smarter than us. Like, don't try to think that you're smarter. But you can't think. You can't go in thinking that you're going to outsmart them. And that's how you get fucked.
They're dumb as well. And I think that there's a lot of things that are not factored in.
Like, but do the war in Ukraine. Honestly, to guess wrong, though. The thing is that most people don't have the capital to guess wrong.
So in South Korea, the people there, the cost of purchasing a house is way, way too expensive. And so now the people, they don't have enough money. And so the only way that they can try to make it is by gambling. And they legitimately gamble. There's like a gambling problem in Korea, or they like do video games. And so crypto, like, can you afford to? Or it's like, I mean, does it matter anyways?
Yeah, it's tough with crypto.
But let's just do the Penguins and then let's like
So the Penguins have been going crazy.
I have it right here. Look at it's the Tuft. Do you see the Tuft?
Yeah, I love it. What
so the left facing Tuft, which is a 1-of-1 penguin. Well, it had a
300.
No, it was a 200 Ethereum offer.
Well, then it got risen. The bid rose to like 250, 230.
Then the ask was 450 Ethereum.
But I mean, the bid got increased to like 250 at least. And that caused the...
You want to step back for a second and explain what we're talking about? Because I think that what we're talking about doesn't really make sense. But the Pudgy Penguins is a set of NFTs of 8,888. Penguins.
So and most of them are like right facing, are like, you know, the penguin faces, you know, a certain direction.
And it has a variety of traits. For instance, several hundred have a bucket hat, or some of them will have a winking eye.
Yeah, glasses, mustache, whatever, goatee, like wears a jersey or something. But the thing about this one is that this is the only one that faces the left. To the left. And so, you know, this one company, you know, had it, they bought it, and then now it's like, you know, somebody bid on it for like 200 ETH, and that just it's been in a little bidding war.
But they haven't sold, and they got offered 200 Ethereum. And then they, instead of saying, I need 250 Ethereum, they raised their asking price to 400 Ethereum for the rarest. So here are a couple of the Pudgy Penguins. I'll just show on here. It might be hard to see. Yeah. But, well, so you see them with the, there's one, yeah.
I mean, because of the camera, it's reverse.
Yeah.
So they're facing the other way. And so that doesn't, like, if you show the rare one, it's going to face to the right if you show it to the screen.
And so the rarest Pudgy Penguin has, I mean, how much is it offered for? Like,
I mean, I saw it for like 250. But it's like crazy. The floor of the penguins has risen to like 4 ETH.
This is the cheapest penguin. It's 3.69 ETH, which is about $6,000. Yeah. About 2 days ago, the floor was like 1.7. They've more than doubled. They've more than doubled. It was around maybe 2
or 3. I mean, they created their own marketplace, you know, and they had that licensing deal with, you know, with that toy company to make, you know, stuffed animals. And they had their AMA today.
You're saying you know. We need to take a step back. So what's happened?
We've talked about Pudgy Penguins.
We have talked about Pudgy Penguins, but I mean, if this is to be a clip, you know, for new people. Everyone knows about Bored Ape Yacht Club. And this was what the topic that we wrote on our notes was going to be, is that Bored Ape Yacht Club people are a bit butthurt about the Pudgy Penguins. But what has happened is that Luca Netz, the new founder, and yeah, India team, please tag him into this video and this clip. Luca Netz bought them from Coaltherium, and he bought the IP. And now what they've been doing is that they are looking to license and merchandise the Pudgy Penguins. And anybody who owns a certain Pudgy Penguin has now been given an opportunity to, for instance, be an IP owner of a toy, a plushie for children.
Well, in order to make a plushie, they need the permission from that Pudgy Penguin owner.
They need the permission. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay, on the flip side. Yeah,
because they own the NFT.
Yes.
So let's say they want to make a plushie of your, you know, Pudgy Penguin with your specific traits.
With a scarf. Beard
or like, you know, a fisherman's hat or like, you know, the sunglasses. They need your permission. And then in order to show proof, we didn't touch on this last time, or if we did, probably not well. Is that, you know, to prove that you are one of the licensing plushie toys, they give you a specific soulbound token. And it's kind of like an NFT token, but it's like created with...
It's tied to your wallet.
Yeah, it's tied to your wallet, and it's inherently flawed, so you can't sell or, you know, trade it. It's not, you can't trade it like an NFT. So it's bound to your wallet. That's why it's called soulbound.
What I wanted to show, though, was here
is that the prototype?
The prototype. It's really hard to do this, like, with the brightness. But look, this is a toy. This is a Pudgy Penguin.
You're gonna
that
buy
has
that
a...
for your kids.
Yeah.
And then
this is
gonna, like...
This is... No, I'm definitely going to buy it for my kids. This is a cute toy. And literally what they're looking to do is similar to Disney.
Yeah.
They are going to be creating toys for children. That Pudgy Penguin that I showed has a bear as a hat, and the Pudgy Penguin that had the bear as the hat will for now on get licensing deals and a portion of the revenue of all of the toys that are sold. And so what they're looking to do is cross over NFTs into collectibles, into merchandising, into children's wear. They're already looking at doing... There was another
maybe
thread.
A theme park. I mean, we talked about this.
They were talking about backstories. They're talking
how
about books for
it's
children.
An IP, you know, gold mine.
And in the future, NFTs and intellectual property will merge slowly.
Yeah.
So this is the first where they're really going from NFTs to IP. But everybody is saying it's more about IP to NFTs, but all of these main companies, they're not Web3 native. They're not crypto native. So is Disney going to figure out how to do NFTs, or are NFTs going to figure out how to do Disney? It will be both. But Pudgy Penguin seems to be at the forefront of figuring out how to mainstream NFTs through IP, and I told Brian about it. I should have bought Bored Apes. I just thought that they were dumb.
I know. We had opportunities to
we
buy
had
like
opportunities
2E.
Like 7E, 2E,
I mean, that
9E.
Was like 8,000.
Yeah.
That was 8,000.
And it was just like,
that
these
like
are dumb, whatever. And then the CryptoPunks looked stupid, and we were like, ETH to 10,000. But I pulled the trigger when I sent my now wife
Well, yeah.
I showed her the Pudgy Penguin, and I was like, what do you think of this picture? And she was like, oh my goodness, it's cute. This is the thesis for Pudgy Penguins.
For kids.
We were discussing it, Brian and I, and it's like, they're just cute. The pictures are cute. The only thing close is Sappy Seals. But the they're not doing
also,
what
like,
they're not doing what
yeah, the plushy stuffed animal.
Yeah, like, Luca about, Nets is the guy who's really plowing through.
So think about your kids. You have so I have a niece or nephew, and like they're little kids, and then they always have that one stuffed animal that they're very attached to. Like that dog, or like, you know, some kind of cat or some big fluffy dog.
So now it's what if they have the IP behind it? But what if they own the licensing for that
toy?
No,
but I'm saying like that toy, but for kids
no,
to
I
sell.
Agree.
Not, like,
the Pudgy Penguins, it's going to be like the next Pikachu.
Like, yeah, basically, yeah.
But there's going to be all sorts of different Pudgy Penguins, and then who knows which one's going to be the most popular. But
well, yeah.
Each person can have the right to their
popular,
own.
The world will tell, right? Because it's like based on who buys the most of that same type of Pudgy
but,
Penguin.
I mean,
right?
Brian was trying to tell me, he was like, yeah, you can make pillows out of Bored Apes too. And I'm like, it's not the same. The penguins are just cuter.
Yeah,
they're cuter. Girls and children like them. And Varsha was just like, oh, it's a cute penguin. I bought it for $2,000. Seemed like a stupid investment. Well, that was like my real
that's
first.
That's how you bought a ring, daughter.
Exactly, and then shot through the roof. And
so that's a
the sappy seals, yeah, there were the sappy seals as well. There's the cute NFTs. There's the niche NFTs. There's the m'ladies where they party. The Bored Apes, they got like Snoop Dogg and Eminem, blah blah blah. But at the end of the day, the thesis is just. Dude,
that's
the penguins
Bored,
are just cute.
I mean,
they're just
Bored
cute.
Apes are a little jealous right now. That
and
the
then,
floor
yeah, they're
has,
butthurt. They're butthurt.
Has been increased, and that's kind of.
No, and the Bored Apes, we didn't talk about
this.
Let's just mention this last little piece about. It was that marketplace where they're allowing people to take loans against their NFTs.
Oh, yeah. They're getting a lot of mean apes.
You need to. You can't jump ahead like that. We got to explain it.
So. Like, how do I start this? So how, you know, you put things as collateral. Like, you put your car as collateral, you put your house as collateral for loans to invest in something. There was a platform, I don't know what platform it was, where you could collateralize your NFT for loans or some kind of coin or, like, ETH or USDC. Based on that value, you know. Like
so it was related to the floor. So the Bored Ape Yacht Club floor, it used to be like 100 ETH.
Yeah. And so liquidation price was like at 13.
So I take out a loan. Imagine 100 ETH
is
worth.
Top of the ETH market.
Yeah. So I promise that if I get below my liquidation rate, you take my NFT and you sell it. So now it's getting to the point where people are forced to sell their Bored Apes. Imagine I'm a poor person who has a Bored Ape and my Bored Ape is worth like $250,000. And I'm like, can I take out a $40,000 loan just to like live my life off of my Bored Ape? Because I think it's going to go up in value, but I'll pay you like $1,000 each month. Like, that's the way loans go. You know, you have to pay interest. But now the value creeps down lower and lower. And now these people that have put up their Bored Apes as collateral are forced to sell because their collateral is being taken by this platform. So now the Bored Apes are forced to sell. And then what happens is that the floor price drops. And then it's just the same as a coin where there's a cascade.
So people got liquidated because Bitcoin dropped or ETH dropped also. So below
NFTs
that 13,
are dropping. Yeah.
So that forced liquidation, the smart contracts for selling of these Bored Ape Yacht Clubs are the mutant apes. I think was mostly mutant apes. But they got forced
the whole liquidation. Ecosystem, and then also ETH, where it's all like
so intertwined. People were, you know, putting their NFTs as collateral. I mean, it's crazy.
It's like, it's so obscure where it's just like, it's, it makes sense where it's like, I have a Picasso, yeah, but it's like, I have a Bored Ape, but it's priced in Ethereum, which is dropping. And then the other people are getting liquidated that put their Bored Apes as collateral. And you realize that everyone around you is gambling way harder than you. And you're just like, I'm a pleb. Like, I put a little bit here and there. Why is ETH dropping? It's like, because people 100x leveraged 2000. Because people were borrowing off of their Bored Apes to buy more NFTs that went to zero.
Don't liquidate.
Yeah, I mean, imagine putting up your Bored Ape.
Like, where do you have to be?
So you're like, can I get like 5 ETH against my Bored Ape so that I can mint random dog shit NFTs?
Yeah.
That's what people are doing. Or can I leverage long ETH? Like, can I hold my Bored Ape, but like get ETH from you?
They probably got more than 5 ETH. They probably got like, you know.
No, like, or they're taking their ETH, they're flipping 13. It to USDC, and then they're going out and having cocktails at Ape Fest.
Yeah.
And these people are going around to these different crypto parties being like, I got a Bored Ape, but I'm broke, but I'm just going to like take out loans against my Bored Ape because it's going to go Ape up Fest, anyways.
I guess. Yeah, but who knows? Who knows why people would put their art as collateral? Right? Because, like, I don't know.
Degens. I mean, the whole world, degens, though. Like I had like said me, about, yeah. Like I had said about South Korea, where it's like, the South Koreans, if you live in Seoul, it's like over $1 million to get like a 1-2 bedroom in the nice part of town. There's no way that you can actually save up enough just working a normal job. So all of them are trying to like either gamble or get crypto rich or be an influencer or a StarCraft pro.
Or a K-pop star.
Yeah, otherwise, like, you're going to live, like, whatever. And then if you're going to live, like, whatever anyways, might as well just gamble. And I think that this is, like, a worldwide thing where it's, like...
Well, that's why casinos exist.
And don't get me into the... They're going to make you eat the crickets. Like, we're not going to eat meat. They're not going to have housing, you know? You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Yeah. Don't get me started on that. But we got to go to the shills. We got to
get on the shills.
Wrap it up.
You've rambled enough.
Yeah.
So,
the penguins.
Yeah, I mean, if you can afford one.
The little pudgies, the rogs.
But I'm, little pudgies. The little pudgies. That's a good, that floor is like 0.22 in the ratio. Kaleo has been charting. I mean, we talked about a little bit this last week where they're charting NFTs kind of like a coin. And it's kind of interesting. Because it's like different market caps and different kind of things.
But it's so true. They are. I mean, all of these things are numbers and markets and coins. And that was what Kobe got in trouble for. Crypto Kobe. Kobe is just Kobe. He bought Kobe, the Twitter. Where you can figure these markets. These NFTs that are pictures are also markets. You can track the sales.
Yeah, it's just all coins with pictures.
Exactly.
And it's very, I mean, he's not
wrong. He got a lot of blowback from that, which is foolish.
He's not wrong. So, yeah, Lil Pudgy's 0.22, so that's like what?
The Rogs. And no, apparently in the roadmap, the Pudgy Penguins are talking about how they are going to do a game.
Yeah.
But apparently they went with one developer. It didn't work out. Yeah.
Gotta collect them all. You gotta have one Rog, one Lil Pudgy, and one Pudgy Bengal. See what happens in the future.
Do you think you need one of each to be able to play the game?
Well, no. I think it's beneficial to have one of each.
I think you're gonna need the Rog because they're gonna need to incorporate the Rogs. Obviously, you're gonna need
the Rogs because that's the Rog. The Rogs is like the lowest.
I think Rogs is a pretty safe play.
I mean, there's so many common ones. At this point,
it's almost like
so many. There's, I mean, like. The disparity of that, it got so fucked with the rarities. Like, everyone most like the well, dispersion that was with the old, of that was so
with,
bad.
That was with Co-Ethereum. And I think they're going to try to...
We both got common ROGs. No,
they're going to try to
I paid 0.3 for that. I'm still pissed about that. Fucking paid 0.3 for a little pudgy turned out to be a ROG.
I saw some people that just swept ROGs and they were like, I've like 7x'd. Like the ROGs were like 0.02 and now they're like
0.2. I don't know. The floor is risen, but my bids are maybe because they don't sell them on OpenSea anymore. I'm not getting bids.
You can go to different places. No. And then the Pudgy Penguins, they made their own marketplace.
Yeah, that's true. We even talked about that.
That's true.
But I don't know. I think I'm still stuck on cash. I think cash is the move now. And then maybe ETH when it dips, and then maybe you can get rotate that into a Pudgy Penguin.
I think things are going to get worse. Okay. The macro stuff, like, we went out of order today, but... Really, the macro is just miserable.
Going out of order was, you know, an example of how whack the macro is.
Like, you just don't know where to point. And I think that I'd like to say that we are not smarter than anybody. We just want to provide the news.
We're not telling people what to do. Smarter than BlackRock,
yeah,
or like Almeida.
But they're the ones that they can manipulate the market. We can't manipulate the market. We're just reporting what's going on each week, and this is what's the news this week. You know, the news is that it seems that a lot of people over leveraged on Ethereum. It seems that Doge chain just rugged super hard. It seems that the NFT markets are crashing, but the Pudgy Penguins are up. And I think that that's kind of all we have to say. I mean, and then also that Ethereum and the staking, it's not what you think. Because Brian, he's got it marked down. It's like Lido and a few others.
60% is owned 60%. By four different companies. So
is that the decentralized future we're looking for?
It's not very decentralized.
It really isn't. We're at the whims of these large companies. And behind those companies, they've been bought in by BlackRock.
Yeah, so Coinbase is owned by BlackRock, basically. But ponder that for the next time. That was the latest episode.
Deuces.
We rambled, but that's okay. Thanks for sticking with us. Peace.